Welcome to The One About Careers with Devin
and Sarah Jane,
a career podcast for adults involved with teens navigating life after high school.
We help you help your teens make informed education and career decisions by providing quality information and resources.
Join us for weekly bite-sized conversations covering various aspects of careers, including insights from professionals in different fields.
New episodes available every week at theoneaboutcareers.com.
Welcome back to The One About Careers. Honestly, Devin, the topic that we have today, I am a little bit apprehensive, not going to lie. So I believe it's necessary. We are talking about options after high school. This one always causes me to do just a little intake of breath, I think. Devin's nodding her head. Absolutely. And I'll start with a bit of a story. So we'll keep the mystery going. Because I would not have considered this an option. In fact, I was very confidently, no, absolutely would never. This is not an option. It is no. Capital letters. And I read a book years ago called Shake Hands with the Devil by Romeo Dallaire. And it was about Canadians' involvement in Rwanda and genocide that was happening there. And it completely changed my mind in terms of the Canadian Armed Forces and the importance of our presence on the world stage. And I'm sure people have heard that before. But it talked about a piece of the armed forces that I had really not considered, which is how we are involved in peacekeeping missions, interestingly enough. And because one doesn't think armed forces peacekeeping in the same sentence. But it was fascinating. And I know that you've got some interesting take too in terms of the military as an option after high school. And I just want to be clear, there are different branches of the military as well. So it could be Army, it could be Navy, it could be Air Forces. We're just doing sort of a general. And so what are your thoughts on this as an option after high school?
I think there are a lot of people for whom this would be a terrific option. And I'm with you on the little bit of an intake of breath. You know, it's funny, and I will put a link in the notes, but it's been very recently, several times over the past year, and the most recent one as we record this came out about a week and a half ago, I've seen articles saying that in the military, retirements are happening significantly faster than recruitment is happening. They are struggling to fill positions to a point where, you know, they're waiving some of their typical admission stuff, some of the stuff they typically would do. If you have related work experience or education, they're like, you know what, you don't have to do the aptitude test good enough. Which when I think military and I think things like flexibility, I don't really put those two things together. But, you know, desperate times, we all make the choices we have to make. So in terms of military, the ideal, of course, is that you have graduated high school, but you do only have to have completed grade 10. And it's a different system in Quebec.
Yeah, but it's 24 credits of 24. Their particular...
their secondary system.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all know, look, I have to sign up at 18. If you have consent from your parents, you can sign up younger. So it's a great option, I think, for people who don't do well with traditional school. I think there's some really good opportunities in there. What a lot of people don't realize is that essentially it's a job application. So I've been working with a client recently who's doing this, and you go, it's quite involved, job application. It's like, you know, the same thing you'd see on a lot of the sites that you visit for applying to jobs online, where you put in your education, your work experience, you provide them with references. And then there's, you know, there's all the physical stuff. Like you do have to do a physical, that kind of stuff. You get like blood work done. They check and make sure you're, you know, clean of drugs and alcohol and those kinds of things. And That's another area, by the way, that they've had to relax a little bit. They're considering more people with different conditions, health conditions and that sort of thing, which is interesting, and building accommodations into a lot of their training and whatnot. And then after that, once you also have to go to, you do like an interview, again, like you would for any job, and there's an aptitude test that you do for entrance, which there's a sample one. I'm not sure it's on their website, to be honest, but for the person I'd been working with, I Googled, like, is there a sample test? And there was, and we downloaded it. Yeah. And it was great. So very similar to like an IQ test with some math questions thrown in. And that's really it. But when you apply, you choose what career are you interested in? Mm-hmm. And there's like hundreds.
Can I read two that I didn't think yes. about? Because this week if you go on the Canadian Armed Forces page, I was blown away by the different options. So two that I took: medical officer. And they're like, okay. I mean, I understand. Like when I read it, I go, oh yeah, that makes sense. But it's not what I initially would thought of. Signals intelligence specialist. Very interesting. And those are only two that I pulled out.
And those are only two. And it's so interesting. Like anything trades in here, anything, tons of stuff related to engineering in here, tons of stuff related to health and medical in here. And like dental technicians, you know, like not stuff that you don't really think about.
Human resources.
Yeah.
Accounting.
Business functions. Absolutely. Yeah. Chaplain.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Which you kind of go, well, duh, of course you would need people like that, or mental health specialist, all those kinds of people. The great thing is they will, if you have met the candidacy requirements, they will do the training. And so for a lot of folks, if it feels like education is very, very difficult to obtain, there's barriers to it, particularly financial, this could be a really great choice to be able to pursue that career. And there are questions you can ask across the board about things like, what does it look like in terms of like, how long is my career with the military? What does it look like if I choose to move into a civilian role at some point? What does that look like? So yeah, I think there's such a wide range of things you can do here. And I think for plenty of people, it's definitely worth a look.
Yeah. Is there anyone, you know, in our last ones, we've talked about, it's not a one and done thing.
No.
And so do you feel the same way about this?
I do. Yeah. I mean, there's certainly certain jobs in the military I think you probably only can do for so long. But it's very specific around like how long you actually stay in the military before you're eligible for like your pension. So right. There are plenty of people who retire from the military in like their mid-30s and they go into a civilian career and maybe they do something totally different, or maybe they continue what they were trained in and they just do it, you know, as an everyday person as opposed to an officer of the military. But it's very interesting to see how it has evolved over the years and what types of training are there. Just because I almost feel like because we're not actively at war and we haven't actively been at war, do you know what I mean? It's like we send troops to things, but as a country, when's the last time we declared war on somebody, you know? So it's like, there's all of this other stuff that sort of built up around it to say, okay, but we also need all these other supports. It's really interesting.
I actually coached a guy who'd been, so there's been a lot more investment into when people are leaving the armed forces, a lot more assistance is given in terms of what next kind of thing. And I did work with an individual who'd never seen a day of what he would call active service in the 40 years that he had been involved with the armed forces. I don't honestly think that's necessarily true now, because I think, you know, we have shown up in places that are, though we might not have declared war, we have participated in military
supporting
actions.
Allies. Yeah, yes. We're supporting allies.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, we have, you know, individuals have lost their lives in that.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, everybody does basic training.
Yes.
Right. Like anytime you are part of the military, no matter what your role is, the idea is for you to be ready and to be active. And that is something you obviously want to be mindful of. But, you know, one of the other things I've kind of learned in the last year or so, I took a course on adults with learning disabilities. And that was one of the case studies we looked at. It was so interesting because the military has been one of the hugest adopters of accommodations for people with learning disabilities. So, and that's why I think it could be a really great opportunity for somebody who's not, you know, school. They're just like, listen, teachers don't get me. This is not happening. Right. And we all know those folks. And that's, you know, this could be a way to get that education, get that training, get that security, get, you know, some of those really wonderful benefits that can come out of it in a totally different way.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. I think we'll leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
With regards to this topic. So it certainly is an option, and we'll add some interesting pieces into the show notes. And our next episode will continue this fascination with different things to do after high school.
Thanks for listening to the One About Careers podcast.
You can catch up with past episodes at theoneaboutcareers.com.
Join us next week for another bite-sized conversation.